Again, what we're looking at, and as I said, it's the third Sunday that we've done exactly the same reading, but just there are three specific parts as we look through Philippians chapter 1. In fact, even the first half of Philippians chapter 1, that there's just so much to glean from. If you remember two Sundays ago, just the first two verses, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul and Timothy, servants of Jesus, to the saints, God's people in the church in Philippi, from all sorts of different backgrounds. So the rich business lady, the prison officer, the girl who was used and abused, telling people's fortunes, all brought together in Christ. And then grace and peace, God's peace, shalom to you, verses 1 and 2. Then last week we thought about the community of faith and how they had cared for Paul and looked after Paul, and then being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion, to hold on and trust in the Lord who is faithful in all his ways. And then we come to verse 9 through to 11, and that's where we're going this morning. Just verses 9 through to 11, and it starts off, as you notice, and this is my prayer. My mother gave me years ago a little book called Praying with Paul, and there's lots of different spaces and places where we read Paul's prayers for the churches that he has been connected with, often that through Christ he has founded. Often too, whenever we say, I'll pray for you, or Lord, we pray for, what are we figuring out here? Is it just a comment that we use, I'll pray for you, or on your WhatsApp or your Facebook or whatever, you put the wee praying hands? It's great. But this is a very specific prayer. And what we want to do is look here at the content of Paul's prayer for us. He prays, first of all, for depth in our relationship with Jesus, that your love may abound more and more. It's not just I'll pray for you. It's this is my prayer. I pray that your love may abound more and more. He prays for our heart. He prays that something will be alive within us, in our love for God and our relationship with him. Pray that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. That it won't just be a blind faith, but that we'll know what our faith is and what our faith means. Do we get this? If you like the picture of a stick of rock, couldn't get one with Portrush on it. But what's the thing about the name on the stick of rock? Where is it? Please talk to me. Okay, the whole way through it. And in essence, Paul is praying for us, heart and head, that Jesus would be all the way through us. Just not the little surface level, but actually that Christ would be in our hearts with a real depth. Ephesians 1, verses 15 to 23, we don't have time to dwell in them, but one of Paul's prayers, that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. Ephesians 3, 14 to 21, we could spend weeks in this passage, but that we would discover how wide and long and high and deep. That's a chorus we're going to have to learn for the boys and girls. Wide and long and high. Maybe we know it, Dave. Yeah, yes. Ha, superb. But I love it that we would know this love that surpasses knowledge. Now, there's an oxymoron for you. Thinking oxymoron. So it just doesn't make sense that we would know this love that surpasses knowledge. We are never going to get to the bottom, to the deep depth of knowing Christ, but that our heart and our head would be touched by the Lord. Another of Paul's prayers. Colossians 1, 9 through to 13, another one And he prays about that we would be filled with knowledge and that we would bear fruit. Paul's prayer here isn't a cheap prayer. That our love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. For you and for me this morning, examine our hearts. Search me, O God, that I love you with heart and head, that I understand the God that I love, although this love surpasses knowledge and I'm never going to get to the bottom of it. But Paul prays for depth for the faith of the Philippian church. He prays for truth. We live in a world, don't we? Oh, Mr. Trump. Or Robin and her fiancé had a wee break and brought back from America a little Donald Trump bobblehead. And it sits beside my seat in the snug. Fake news. Also, what can you mean? AI. And what can you believe anymore? What actually has depth and substance? What is true in this world we live in? And again, in our world, biblical foundations are just completely being eroded. Paul prays regarding truth that you may be able to discern what is best. That we would know truth. That we would read behind the headlines and read behind the fake news to see the actual truth. Again, I can not forget the Manic Street Preachers album. Again, Karen's smiling at me, but "This Is My Truth, Tell Me Yours." And that was an album that was released about 20 years ago. "This Is My Truth, Tell Me Yours." Paul prays for the church that you may be able to discern what is best. Really, from 25 or 30 years ago, I'd spent 4 years working in Sandy Row with the Belfast City Mission. And there's a weekend that's just stuck in my memory. I got a phone call on a Friday to say a young fella who had just got out of prison, had been in a lot of bother and nonsense, and actually got out, got back to his drug habit, and actually died just through misuse. Saturday morning, okay, confession time. How many of us remember Live and Kicking? Ant and Deck and Cat Daly, okay? Live and Kicking was on, and bless them, the Spice Girls were on. And there was a phone-in chat, and Baby Spice, Emma Bunton, in the phone-in chat, somebody asked a question. "Oh, whatever you want in life, just go for it. Just chase your dreams and just go for it." 21-year-old lad had just died the previous day chasing his dreams. Emma Bunton with this amazing advice, "Just go for it, chase whatever you want in life, chase your dreams." Phone rang on Sunday. Another one of the young men in Sandy Row died in the same way. That you may be able to discern what is best. Sorry, Baby Spice, but your advice was shocking and is not based on truth. And folks, we need to live in a world filled with fake news, a world that is eating away at biblical, truthful foundations. And we need to hold on to truth. We need to discern what is right. But the truth here that Paul's praying for and talking about isn't just knowledge, but it's also that our lives would be truthful, blameless until the day of Christ, that we may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ. What does that mean? Actually, that our lives would show that people would see Christ in us and the truth of that life. I remember working years ago in a drapery wholesaler, Miller, Boyd and Reeds, in Belfast, and there was a young fellow took over as traveller for a couple of weeks while the traveller in his department was off on holidays. And Andy filled in his travelling expenses forms honestly. And 3 weeks later, whenever the cheques were being written, got in serious trouble from lots of the other travellers who were saying, "What are you doing? You're ruining our cash cow." Because he had been a man of integrity. He had been blameless and pure in how he filled in his forms. He was truthful. But actually, folks, we know today, don't we, to live truthfully at times can grate against the world in which we live, that we may show the love of Christ. There's a great imagery, great little book called Blue by Nick Page. And in the book, he talks about, if anybody, again, sorry, lots of questions, Shaker furniture. Anybody? Okay, what's the significance of Shaker furniture? Simple and functional, absolutely. Anything else? Maybe not painted. One of the most significant things about Shaker furniture is that the back that goes against the wall will be finished to the same high standard as the front that you can see. Also say that if you bought a basket of fruit off the Shakers, a bit like the people living, what do you call, the Amish, that the bottom of the basket of fruit or vegetables that they sell you will be of the same quality as those that you can see. That we would know and that we would show. Psalmist writes, "How can a young man, woman, keep their way pure? By living according to your word." Psalm 119, verse 11, "I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." The whole way through, the stick of rock. Folks, that our lips and our lives may speak of Jesus, that we would know and that we would show. I love, again, from my time in Sandy Row, the little passage that we'll look at in a handful of weeks' time, Philippians chapter 2, 14 to 16, but in the middle of it, that we are children of God in a crooked and depraved generation, but in which we shine like stars in the universe as we hold out the word of life. That we shine like stars in the universe, but we hold out also the word of life. Our lips, our lives, speaking the truth of Christ. We'll keep moving. Paul prays for growth. Verse 11. Harvest season. I'm not sure how many farmers we have spent 7.5 years in the agricultural heartland of the Lagan Valley in East Donegal. And the majority of the folk in the congregations have been farming folk. Growth is very important to them. Harvest season, or at the moment, lambing season. Boys go for about 2 weeks without any sleep, watching little cameras in their shed to be there as their sheep are lambing. But if you're planting a field, there's preparation of the field. I still don't understand what lime is. See Jim down the back, he could keep me right. But the lime that's spread in the field for some function, William, David, but it's there for the quality of the soil. It's all in the preparation. Yes, no, maybe? The pH. To lower the pH. Okay. Education. Come to Ballywillan, you get an agricultural education. But then you have to prepare the soil. You have to sow the seed. You have to tend the seed. You have to wait. And maybe in some senses you have to worry. After a while, there's nothing more you can do. But you have to do the preparation, that the growth will come. What does that say to us? If there's no growth in the fields, you're concerned, you're frustrated, you're disappointed. If the weather turns and ruins the crop, again, nothing you can do. But that's the life of farming. What does this say to you and I? The growth spiritually in your life, in my life. You see, again, Paul's prayer here is specific and focused, that we would be satisfied, filled with what? Filled with the fruit of righteousness, a spiritual crop in our lives, that we would be satisfied and filled with God's Spirit as we come to know him more. Who's the source? That comes through Jesus Christ. And then we would be a signpost to the glory and praise of God. See what Paul is praying here? That we would be filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Cheeky question. If you know and love the Lord, what difference is there in your walk with God since coming to faith? Pregnant, awkward pause. What difference is there? Are we growing in Christ? Back to the child with the bottle or the clothes, 3 to 6 months or 6 to 12 months. If there was no growth and development, you would be deeply concerned. So for you and I in our love and walk with Jesus, what growth has there been in our lives, in my life, since then? Galatians 5, 22 and 23, fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And against such things, there's no law. May they just blossom and develop in our lives and our love for the Lord. Growth. 2 Peter 1, verse 5 to 8. Allow me, please, just to read these words. For this reason, is Peter writing, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness. To goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, as we draw to a close, for you and I, what is the depth of our faith? Not just in knowledge, but in how we live. Are we living with integrity? Does Jesus run the whole way through us? What about truth? Are we living truthfully? Living biblically, living out the Lord's values and how we follow the Lord and trust him. And growth. Are we living healthily? Are we living healthy Christian lives? Those habits. Paul's prayer here, let me again just read it as we finish up. Just read it together. This is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ. And may this be to the glory and praise of God. Hold on to those themes. Chew them over today. Maybe as you take time together with family, or just find a wee quiet space and even read the prayer again yourself and read it for yourself, that it may seep into your soul. Amen.